MZTV.
From the edge of the bottom of the Floridan Peninsula. Haven't said that in a while. In fact, not in 3 weeks. This is Martin Zender, fresh from Peru, here to bring you some amazing scriptural news at the end of the week. I'll tell you a little bit about the trip home. I look a little misshapen here. I may have to grow a ZZ Top type beard here to cover my Elephant Man appearance. But I've been told that it will settle down. Scars will go away, and yeah, we'll see. The way I look at it, you know, I won't need this body much longer. Anyway, so let's just see how it goes. I must say, my wife, Maria, and I, we boarded a plane at 12:45 last night, which was Wednesday night, and early Thursday morning at 12:15, the continent of South America disappeared beneath the wheels of our LATAM Airlines flight. We had two wonderful seats together, just her and me. And as the lights of Lima disappeared beneath us, we held each other tightly, and I just kissed her on the cheek and on the hand repeatedly. I so appreciate her. And she gave me a big hug, and we proceeded to watch Paddington in Peru for entertainment purposes, which I know would thrill Whiskey Mystic. So I got to hand it to you there, Whiskey. It really helped us to watch this fun little movie about a fictitious bear in Peru, places we've been to. So the flight, I was properly drugged, and we had a meal on the flight. You don't get those too often these days. And we're in coach, mind you. So, and then we had some sleeping medication that we took after the meal. But a movie, a meal, I just felt so blessed. It was, the whole thing was surreal, leaving Peru, leaving that trial behind me, leaving behind also all the wonderful people that helped me, that helped make me well. Now it's a matter of healing. It seemed like a dream. And I think of the scriptures, you know, someday this whole life is going to seem like a dream in the night. But of course, as we're living it out, it's a long, long train running, as the Doobie Brothers would say. Got to retrain the mouth. So, yeah, we hopped over the equator at about 1 a.m. Went from winter to summer. Hopped over the Panama Canal around 5 a.m. We hopped over Cuba, and then landed in Miami. And it was an experience that brought Maria and me closer together even than we are. We love spending time with each other. We spend much time together. And of course, something like we've been through would strain many couples. But for us, it just brought us closer together. So I thank God for all the benefits that I experienced, and I pray that, again, the surgeon's wife has an antenna for the truth and gets the evangel of the gospel, the grace of God. That would be terrific. So, thanks, one and all. You know, we get a lot of value in our community, in our world, really, from old-timers. And we ourselves are becoming an old-timer. I'm becoming an old-timer in that I remember a time before cell phones. And many of you do, too, of course. You had to put your finger in a dial called a rotary phone. And it was a thrill to talk to somebody far away. And I remember when I was dating the mother of my children in Plymouth, Ohio, it was so primitive there that they had a party line. That is, they shared the line with a couple people down the street, and you could pick up the phone and hear your neighbor down the street in conversation with somebody else, at which time you would hang up the phone and wait for your turn to call. And it's always fascinating to me to talk to people who remember a past era. Of course, there was a time before television. I've often called television the beginning of the end, which I believe it was. It was the beginning of the beast, television was. But before television, you had radio. And people would gather around these popular radio shows of the day, like The Lone Ranger and Fibber, McGee, and Molly. Is Amos and Andy, was that an old radio show? And families would sit together on the couch and listen to the radio. You had to wait for your show to come on. Yeah, you couldn't. There was no such thing as, I mean, before streaming, some people can't even, are so young, and some people even in my audience are so young, they can't remember a time before streaming where, or even before DVDs, where you couldn't just call up a show that you wanted at will. I remember hearing a story back in the 70s how Elvis had this early version of 8-track or DVD. He had a collection of movies, Elvis did, and he had this TV, and Elvis could watch movies whenever he wanted. Well, that just sounded crazy, like only the richest of the rich would have that. And so we are so used to these things. And let me tell all those of you young people, before cell phones, we used to talk to each other. Well, we used to write letters. Oh, I had a girlfriend back in 1980. And, you know, we were too shy to talk on the phone, but we would write each other letters. And I would sit by the window waiting for the mailman to pull up. That was so exciting. The mailman would pull up and he'd be carrying the mail to the mailbox. And you just hope, you'd hope for a letter from your girlfriend. If you ask me, those were the good old days. But those of us who are wise will listen to the old timers and to be able to tell us of the good old days before there were all of our modern taken for granted conveniences. I mean, before the internet. Salesmen used to come to your door selling encyclopedias. Sets of encyclopedias. Every home had a set of encyclopedias. That's where you got your information. It was amazing to not have to go to the public library for information because you had Encyclopedia Britannica. And I'm telling you, salesmen used to come to the door selling sets of encyclopedias. And I remember watching many game shows when I was a kid, and one of the prizes was the Encyclopedia Britannica, an entire set of these, like, world knowledge, everything you need to know. Now, of course, you just go to Google, and it's really, again, it's the end of the end. If TV was the beginning of the end, we're now experiencing the end. And then there are people who, including myself, now we're getting into a territory that I'm not familiar with. That is, you know, pre-World War II. When you had the failed paper hanger from Munich trying to take over the world back in 1939, and when we had, even in the 60s, Russian missiles poised to attack us being installed in Cuba. And so there were times in history when this country had to be defended or we would lose what we have. And a lot of kids today just take that for granted. They don't realize it. So it's very valuable to talk to World War II veterans, and there's fewer and fewer of those around. And I remember watching videos of the Titanic survivors. You know, there's a bygone era. 1912, the Titanic sank in the North Atlantic, and I remember this one woman, can't remember her name, but I remember, you know, she was maybe 13 or 14, so she had vivid memories of being on the Titanic and getting on one of the lifeboats and being saved by the Carpathia, the ship that came up and plucked a lot of the survivors, all the survivors, out of the Atlantic Ocean that day. So, and then I watched a video of Hitler's secretary, Adolf Hitler's freaking personal secretary, was interviewed. And just to watch somebody who, like, sat next to Adolf Hitler and took memos and brought him coffee. And it's just fantastic historic stuff. Well, if you want history, get a load of this. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Now to him who is able to do super excessively above all that we are requesting or apprehending, according to the power that is operating in us, to him be glory in the ecclesia and in Christ Jesus. Here's the phrase. Pay attention. Watch out. For all the generations of the eon of the eons. Amen. Oh, you could so easily pass over this in the King James Version. To all the generations forever and ever, whatever. Forever and ever, which is a non-existent phrase. Never occurs once in properly translated scripture. I'm reading from the Concordant Version. To him be glory, to him, Christ, be glory. Oh, this is God. I think it's speaking of God. Let me start with verse 20. Now, to him was able to do excessively above all that we are requesting or apprehending, according to the power that is operating in us, to him be glory in the ecclesia and in Christ Jesus. Yeah, so we're talking about God in verse 20, Christ Jesus in verse 21, for all the generations of the eon of the eons. Now, the eon of the eons, a very specific phrase in the scriptures. I have to remind you that there are several distinctive phrases that use the Greek word ion that is completely missed in terrible translations. There's the eon of the eon, the eon of the eons, and the eons of the eons. These are three completely distinct phrases depending on the plural and depending on the genitive case, and in the King James Version, or in the NIV, the NASB, and most common versions, they totally miss the nuance by translating all these beautifully distinct verses as forever and ever, even though the connective and is not there, kai, that's the Greek connective, that's not even present here. They add it in the general, common English translations. The genitive case is completely missing of the eon. That's the genitive case. And they completely ignore the word eon that appears twice. They translate it ever, forever. They translate it ever in one place and forever in another place. Forever and ever, which is an absolute insane phrase. Think about it. Forever and ever. What the hell is forever and ever? If forever is forever, then how do you add and ever to it? Why don't you just add another and ever? Forever and ever and ever. Oh, God, that's a long time. Well, until you add another and ever, why don't we try that? No, because we're not that stupid. The phrase is the eon of the eons. There are five eons. And this can be found scripturally for a teaching on the eons. Go to YouTube, put my name, Martin Sender, and the eons, and I did a really helpful live presentation of the eons from Indianapolis. You will get much benefit from it. Very important topic. You will cannot understand God's operation, what he's doing through Christ and through the body of Christ if you don't know about the eons. Do you know how, you remember how in the temple there's called the Holy of Holies? Same exact construction here. What's the Holy of Holies? It's the holy place as compared to other holy places. The Holy of Holies. Oh, okay. There's several holy places in the temple area. You have the tabernacle, you have the outer court, you have the priest court. These are all holy places, but there's the holy of the holies, which is the place where the high priest went once a year, the holy of the holies, the inner sanctum, where the presence of God dwelt between the wings of the cherubim of the Ark of the Covenant. That was the holy of the holies. There's also a phrase in Hebrew, the holies of the holies. It's talking about the two holy places, the tabernacle and the inner sanctum there, those two places, concentrating on those two places as compared to the other holy places. And so such beautiful distinctions written by God into the scriptures that we completely miss because of bad translations. So we have five eons, and the fifth eon is the most glorious of the eons because death is no longer operating in the fifth eon. And that's what we're talking about, the eon of the eons. Like Jesus is the King of kings, Lord of lords. Doesn't mean there's an endless succession of kings or an endless succession of lords. That's what people tell me this forever and ever means. Oh, it's just an endless succession of and evers. Please stop talking. You don't know what you're talking about. King of kings, of all the kings on the earth, he's the king. Lord of lords, of all those who are called Lord, it's a generic term, it means sanctioner. He's the Lord of all of them. He's the Lord of lords, King of kings. The holy of the holies, the holies of the holies, the holy of the holy, comparing the last holy place to the one before it. All these beautiful phrases. Now, what this is talking about is the last eon compared to the previous four. The eon of the eons, the greatest eon, the greatest time period in God's plans is eon number five. It is when the new Jerusalem descends from heaven onto a new earth. Not this one. This earth is going to be destroyed after the 1,000 years. There's going to be a new heavens and a new earth. And death at that time will be relegated to the lake of fire. There will be no death on the new earth. That's a different thing. This on Eon 5 on the new earth, no death. No death, people. This is the big difference, even from Eon 4. We're in Eon 3, by the way. Eon 3 sucks. That's my paraphrase of Galatians 1:4. Paul calls this the current wicked eon. I just say the eon sucks. It's Martin Zander paraphrase. Get yours now. This is Eon 3. I don't have time to talk about the two previous eons. You're asking too much of me. We'll do that later. Even in Eon 4, which is the kingdom eon, the 1,000 years of peace when Israel rules the world with Jesus Christ as the chief priest, David as king, there's still people are still dying. There's still death operating. In Eon 5, death is relegated. There are still a few people in the lake of fire, which is the second death, because death has not yet been abolished. Death is abolished after Eon 5 has run its course. I can prove that to you from 1 Corinthians 15:26, at which time God becomes all in all, 1 Corinthians 15:28. I love knowing all this stuff. It's so terrific to know these things, to have the plan of God, and to realize that God has a calendar, God has times, God has seasons, and everything has its season. This for this, this for that. This happens now, that happens then, but it all eventually happens. Sorry, my bandage is leaking as the show progresses here. I'll have to have Maria change that. I wore a dark shirt. I thought I could get away with it, but I'm starting to feel wet here. I'm saying, what's happening? It's a little leakage here. I'm leaking. Don't worry, I got plenty of fluid to spare. Here's the thing. There are going to be generations of that eon. There are going to be people born. That's what it says, for all the generations of the eon of the eons, generations. There are going to be people having kids in the fifth eon on the new earth. There are going to be families. It's going to be a lot better.